Each year, we are going to entitle the Rambam's definition of an apikoros. Mm-hmm. In this week's parsha, Vayechi, we have the following statement. It says, the beginning of the fourth aliyah, it says, Vayikra Yaakov el banav, and Yaakov called his children, Vayomer heasfu vagida lachem et asher yikratem b'achmida yamim. And he said to them, gather together, and I will tell you what will happen ba'acharit hayamim, at the end of days. Now this notion, this term, the end of days, very interesting that it's being used here. In the beginning of the book of Bereishit, as you know, the beginning of the book talks about the opening days. Who's to say that there's ever going to be an end of days? There could be a beginning, and life just goes on and on and on and on forever, and there's never an end. But here is the first time that we are introduced to a notion in Chumash that there will be an end of days. The world will not go on forever as it is now, but there will be, as Mefarshim say, a messianic age, a world to come. And this is emphasized by Chazal as a fundamental belief of the Jewish faith. Now, if you would ask, Acharit Hayamim, how often is that phrase used? I would have said not too often. I probably would have said, well, right here it's used, that I recall, that Jacob says to his family, come close, I will tell you what will be at the end of days. But in fact, it is utilized throughout Chumash, and especially so in Tanakh. So for example, just to give you some of the sources, in fact, all of the sources, okay? It says in the parsha regarding Balak, I say the parsha of Bilam the prophet, when he's prophesying, he says, I will tell you what the Jewish people will do to you, he tells Balak at the end of days, Bacharit Hayamim. Or for example, in Deuteronomy, Parshat Vayechanan, God says that after you are exiled from your land and you sin, he says you will return to the land and you will once again serve God Bacharit Hayamim, at the end of days. And then in Parshat Vayelech, Moshe says that after he dies, he knows the Jewish people are going to sin. And again, however, they will return at the end of days, to God. And then in the book of Yeshayahu, there's a famous statement where it says, at the end of days, Yeshayahu says, there he talks about they will beat their swords into plowshares and they will not serve war anymore, right? Man will not lift up sword against man, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall men learn war anymore. For all men, both great and small, shall know the Lord. You know this famous statement, that's in Yeshayahu. It says this will happen at the end of days. It says in Yirmiyahu several times, actually four times, it talks about the fact that at the end of days, God will show wrath against the enemies, the Jewish people, and eventually the Jewish people will understand this, and God will also show wrath at the end of days against Moab and against Elam, another nation of the time. In Yechezkel, it says, speaks of the war of Gog and Magog, the famous war that will occur at the end of days. In Hosea, it says that people will once again return to God and seek Him out at the end of days. In Micah, it says, Vahaya b'acharit hayamim, at the end of days. And then it has, very interestingly, the exact same language as Yeshayahu, about nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall men learn war anymore. The exact same language. Why it's twice, I really don't know. There are subtle differences, but it's basically the same. And then in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, it says there as well, an angel tells Daniel what will occur at the end of days. So this phrase, b'acharit hayamim, at the end of days, is in fact a phrase you see that is used multiple times throughout Chumash, throughout the entire Bible, to such a degree that the rabbis say that someone who does not believe in this, does not believe that there's going to be a world after this world, a messianic age, a world to come, that such a person is a heretic. The Rambam, in fact, mentions this in his Laws of Tshuva, and in there he says, you don't have this yet on the sheets I gave you, but it says, in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Vav, the Rambam says, Eilu hein she'ein lahem chilek lamaba. There are those, you know, do not have a place in the world to come. Eilu ela nichratim ve'oldin ve'nidunim al godel risham v'chata'am li'olam olamei olamim. Rather, these people, they will be wiped out, they will be cut off, they will be judged for their evil greatness of sin forever and ever. Then he names what these categories are of such people. He says, Haminim, those who are the sects, S-E-C-T-S. Then there are those who are apikorsim. Then there are those who are kofrim b'Torah, those who deny the Torah. He has a whole list of people. People who, it says, akofrim b'tchiyat ha-meitim, those who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. The bi'at ha-goel, coming of the Redeemer. He has a whole list of people, different categories of those who do not have a place in this world to come. And even though it says in Pirkei Avos, we introduce it with that, it's really a Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah, Daf Sadi, it says, Kol Yisrael Yesham Chelet Lamaba, every Jew has a place in the world to come. However, then it says there in that Mishnah, except for the following. So there are groups of people who don't have a place in the world to come, and that's what the Rambam outlines here. But what my goal is today, is it's really more of a mystery than it is I'm going to be able to answer it. Mm-hmm. That is, I have found in my studies that the Rambam is not consistent, it seems to me, in indicating what an apikoros is. We have this word, you've heard it, apikoros. Someone is a heretic. What does it mean for someone to be a heretic, an apikoros? That's what we're going to look at, and we will try to understand what the Rambam says. So take a look at source number one on your sheets. All right. This is from Hilchot Tshuva, the Laws of Repentance. There, the Rambam says, "Shlosha hein hanikraim apikorsim." There are three people who are called apikoros, who are in the category of apikoros, of heretic. Haomer she'ein sham nuvua klal, someone who says that there's no such thing as prophecy. V'ein sham mada shemagia me'abore lelev b'nei adam, and there's no such thing as any knowledge that can come from the Creator to the mind and the heart of a human being. V'hamachish nuvuato shemoshe Rabbeinu, which I'm going to explain to mean, and someone who therefore says there could not have been any such thing as a prophecy being given to Moses. In other words, Moses' prophecy, we know, was given differently than all other prophets received their prophecy. It was given letter by letter, right, very clearly, instead of through a metaphor or a vision, right? Moshe got it clearly. Exactly, mouth to mouth. So therefore, this person says, so there could not be any prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ya'omer she'ena bore yodea ma'ase b'nei Adam, and someone who finally says that God does not know the acts of human beings. He doesn't know what's going on in their minds. Any one of these people, kol achad mishlosh ha'elu, hein apikorsim. They are called heretics, apikorsim. Now, you see from this, how would you indicate, if you would sum up, according to the Rambam, just according to this definition, because he's saying these three are called apikorsim, these three, doesn't say anyone else, these three. How would you define an apikoros? What is an apikoros? So it's not enough to say a heretic. How does he define it? It's specifically a denial of what? Yeah. What would you say?
You just said that.
Okay, it's a denial somehow of the aspect of God's knowledge being able to connect to human knowledge. God, there can't be prophecy, there's no way there can be a connection between God and a human being, and Moses couldn't have done it, and God can't know what's going on in a person's mind. It's impossible. So that's an apikoros, he says. That's an apikoros. Now, okay, look at source number two. Source number two says, Shloshem nikrim apikorsim.
So if people say,
okay, hold on, where do you get to it? Wait a second. So he says, three are called apikorsim. And we learn this from, he says, the Rambam's proof that these three are called apikorsim, he says, comes from the Mishnah I quoted you before in Sanhedrin. Ha'omer ein Torah min ha-shamayim. The Mishnah says, someone who says that the Torah is not divine. Someone who says the Torah is not divine in nature. It's a human document, okay? V'apikoris. And an apikoros, and the Mishnah goes on to say there, and someone who denies the resurrection of the dead. So these categories do not have a place in the world to come. The Kesef Mishnah in his commentary on the Rambam says, see, the Rambam is correct in not saying that just any heretic is an apikoros, because you see it says in the Mishnah, someone who doesn't believe the Torah is divine. someone who's the apikoros. You see, it's not an apikoros is not someone who doesn't believe the Torah is divine, right? Someone who says, I don't believe the Torah is from God. That's not an apikoros, because the Mishnah said, there's a person who doesn't believe the Torah is from God. There's an apikoros. The apikoros is a different category than the one who says, I don't believe the Torah is divine. Otherwise, the Mishnah wouldn't have delineated it in different categories. This is the Rambam. We're saying an apikoros has to do with a philosophical thought, you know, an idea that God cannot connect to human beings. That's what an apikoros is. That's it, the Rambam says. That's it. And again, that's supported by the Kesef Mishnah, who says, yeah, it would seem that apikoros is separate, let us say, from someone who doesn't believe God gave the Torah, there was any Sinaitic event, and so on. Okay, let's move on. Source number 3, we are questioning again the consistency of the Rambam in terms of what he just said in number 1. Now look at source number 3. Source number 3 says, in Hilchot Shechita, the laws of slaughtering, where the Rambam is going to exclude those who are not proper Jews, you know, from slaughtering for other Jews. So he says in that discussion in Perek Dalid, Halacha Dalid, the Rambam says, apikoros. An apikoros, now we just saw that, right, in source number 1. So you would say an apikoros. That is to say, I would put in the blank, oh, if I'm learning in school, you mean someone who doesn't believe in prophecy or that God's knowledge can go to human beings like it couldn't go to Moshe, therefore, or that someone doesn't believe that God can know what's going on in the human mind or with their actions. That's what he means, right? He says, apikoros, v'hu hakofer batorah uv'moshe rabbeinu. And what's an apikoros? Someone who denies the Torah and denies Moshe Rabbeinu, Kemoshe bi'arnu b'hilchot tshuva, like we explained in the laws of repentance. This person, he says, is ka'akum, is like an idolater, and therefore his shechita is no good. His slaughtering is no good. Now wait a second. He said, you know, just like we said in the laws of tshuva, someone who denies the Torah and denies Moshe Rabbeinu. Wait a second. In Hilchos Tshuva, you did not say, as we'll see in a moment, just hold on, you did not say it's someone who denies the Torah. You did not say it's someone who, in a sense, denies even the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll get to that in a moment. You said it's someone who does not believe in the whole idea of knowledge being able to go from God to a human being. Now, why am I saying this? Because look at source number 4. Source number 4 says, back to Hilchos Tshuva, Gimel Chet, where we just were in the first source from the Rambam. He says here, Shlosha Heina Kofrim B'Torah. Three are those, there are three who deny the Torah. Ha'omer Sheng Torah Me'im Hashem. Someone who says the Torah is not from God, even one word. Afil Pasuk Achad, even one verse. Afil Teva Achad, even one word. Even one letter. Imamar Moshe Amro Mipi Atzmo Hareze Kofer B'Torah. If he says Moses said this on his own, he is denying the Torah. Now see, this person could believe, I believe in prophecy, I believe Moshe was a prophet, but you know, there are a few lines in there, no, I don't believe it. Oh, the Rambam says you're still a Kofer B'Torah. He could believe in prophecy, he could believe in Moshe, but where it says there, homosexuals, it's forbidden on the penalty of death, you know, today I see a lot of people do that, I don't believe that could be from, that must have been from human beings, I don't believe that. So that person is a Kofer B'Torah. Is he an apikoros? No. I would say he's not an apikoros. You said an apikoros is specifically someone who does not believe in the ability of God's knowledge to connect to human knowledge. This is something else. It's another category. It's called Kofer B'Torah. Let's move on. V'chein Kofer B'Perusha. And someone who denies the explanation of the Torah. V'hu Torah Sheval Peh. That is to say, the oral Torah. Again, he's not saying there's not such thing as prophecy. He's just saying there's no code, we call the oral Torah, to explain the prophetic statement that was given. The Amachi Shmagi Deha, Kigon Saduku Baitus, and also someone who denies the Torah, he says, who's someone who disputes those who say what it means, like the Sadducees and the Baitusim, who said that the rabbis, our rabbis, Chazal, they didn't know what they were talking about. They misunderstood the Jewish calendar, they misunderstood the laws of Shabbos, they don't know what they're talking about. The expositors of the Torah don't know what they're talking about. He says that's also someone who denies the Torah. And finally, Va'omer Shabore Hechlif Mitzvah Zo B'Mitzvah Acheret, someone who says that God switched one mitzvah for another, or the Torah is no longer relevant, these mitzvahs are no longer germane to our life today, they weren't supposed to be forever, right? Apopishu Haitami Mashem, even if it says the Torah was all from God, I believe it 100%. It's just it was only supposed to last for a few hundred years, and now it's no longer relevant. He says all three of these are considered to be kofar batorah. So therefore, I relate you back to number three. Rambam said apikoros, an apikoros. Vehu hakofar batorah. What's an apikoros? One who is kofar batorah. It's not true. You said in source number one, an apikoros is specifically a person who denied the knowledge of God reaching the knowledge of man. In source number four, what we just saw, you defined a different category from the apikoros called the kofar batorah. Now you're saying what we saw in source number three, the apikoros, and he's the guy who's a kofar batorah. No, it's not. You said in Hilchos Tshuva, there are two different categories. There's an apikoros, and there's a kofar batorah. So why in source number three do you say the apikoros, who is the one who is kofar batorah? It's not true. They are two different categories. I find the Rambam very inconsistent, and I'm going to continue to plead my case. The reason I have a problem is because Rav Aaron Soloveitchik always would say, he said, the Rambam, he says, in my opinion, was the most organized person of all time, the most organized author. He says, from what I know, the Rambam was the first one to ever have a table of contents. Think about it. Chumash doesn't have a table of contents. The Gemara doesn't have a table of contents. You want to look something up, you just got to know where it is. Okay? The Rambam was the first of all time. You put down a table of contents. Imagine this idea. He introduced the idea of a table of contents where you can look. Everything's organized and you can look there. He's very consistent in what he says. He prides himself on that. Rav Twersky, in his book Introduction to the Mishnah Torah, Yitzchak Twersky, emphasizes the great organizational power of the Rambam. And yet here, within a span of a few sources I've shown you, he says the apikoros, here's the definition of that, and then over here he says the apikoros, which is this person, which he defines differently. Look at source 4a over on the left a little. 4a, Hilchot Mamrim, the laws of those who are rebellious. The Rambam says in Hilchot Mamrim Gimel Aleph, Mi she'eino modeh b'Torah shebal peh, someone who does not believe in the oral Torah, Eino Zakein Mamre Ha'amro V'Torah, that's not the Zakein Mamre, the rebellious elder that is being spoken about in the Torah. The Zakein Mamre, for those who do not know, is specifically a person when the Sanhedrin, the 71-man court, right, which was the central authority in Judaism, when it gave out a halachic psak, when it rendered a verdict, you weren't allowed to disagree with it. Even if you were on the Sanhedrin itself, and in the midst of the discussion you disagreed with it, okay, fine. But once the Sanhedrin says, this is the halacha for Klal Yisrael, you can't go around teaching in your yeshiva, I disagreed with the Sanhedrin, I'm on the Sanhedrin. I disagreed with it, and I say, if they're wrong, and you should do this. If you do that, you get the death penalty. Even if you're a great sage in Israel, you are not allowed to question after the Pesach of the Sanhedrin and question it in practical terms, actually teaching to your students that even though the Sanhedrin said this, they're wrong. You should do otherwise. The result is you get the death penalty. Someone who does not believe in the oral Torah is not a Zakein Mamre. He's not a rebellious elder. He says, rather he is in the category of, now fill in the blank, what would you put? Rather he is in the, be careful, rather he is in the category of someone who doesn't believe in the oral Torah. Of what? What do we say? Which category? He's in the category of kofar batorah, we should say. Kofar batorah. We just saw in source number 4, it said someone who doesn't believe in the oral Torah is a kofar batorah. But what does the Rambam say? Someone who doesn't believe in the oral Torah, hareza bichlal ha'apikorsim. He is considered to be in the category of the apikoros. Wait a minute. We said, don't forget, in source number 1, the Rambam defined an apikoros as someone who doesn't believe the knowledge of God, the prophetic problem, can go from God, the Creator, to the human being. That's an apikoros. A kofar batorah, he said specifically, is someone, he gave different examples, someone who believes that the Torah is not divine, someone who believes that there's no oral Torah, someone believes that you can change the Torah. That's a kofer b'Torah. So here, in the laws of Milchot Mamrin, he said someone who doesn't believe in the oral Torah is a blank. He should have said a kofer b'Torah. Instead, again, he says an apikoros. That's not true. It's not consistent with what you said in the laws of repentance.
Well, okay, what is the kofer b'Torah? Is that right? Expression.
Kofer b'Torah, yes.
Is a subcategory under apikoros, and it is a type of apikoros.
Yes.
Then he's not being inconsistent.
That's correct. That is a possible answer. I disagree with it, because why does the Rambam give him, why doesn't he say, he should say according to you, if you want to be clear, I hear what you're saying, it's a way to do it, but he should say, these are the categories of apikorsim. Number one, the person who doesn't believe that God has divine knowledge, da 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 da. Number two, a kofer b'Torah. Number three, one who is a mean. A mean, he says, also is one who doesn't believe in God or thinks that God is a body, and so on. So if he would have said, these, all three categories, these are the apikoros concept.
Yeah,
but he doesn't.
Yeah, I think it's confusing.
I think it is confusing. He says, these three are apikorsim. And then he gives, over here, later on, he says, oh, a person who doesn't believe in the oral Torah, he's also an apikoros. First of all, why didn't you say have a kofer b'Torah? Even according to you, if it's a subcategory, why didn't you say the more specific subcategory? Be specific. Say the subcategory.
Because you need to know that it's equally as bad.
He does say they're equally as bad. He said in what I introduced to you, he said that these people do not have a place in the world to come. He said the minim, the apikorsim, those who are kofrim b'Torah, those who don't believe in the coming of the Mashiach, those who don't believe in the resurrection. So he had all those categories. They all don't have a place in the world to come. But you, the Rambam, you took it upon yourself to define them independently. Once you did that, I have a right to expect that you're going to be consistent when you talk about them. When you talk about apikoros, in my opinion, you should say it as you defined it and not with some other explanation.
So
that's my
thing. Sometimes you'll have a discussion with him and tell him that.
No, I'm having a discussion in this world, but he's not here. I'm going to argue with him. Okay, let me keep showing you. Look at source number five. Source number five. Ukishenikalka, this is in Perush HaMishnayot and Perek Chelek, as we said, this is the commentary of the Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi in Masechet Sanhedrin, where it says every Jew has a place in the world to come except for these. Okay? The Rambam then, out of these three things, we said these people do not have a place in the world to come, those who don't believe in the resurrection, those who don't believe the Torah is from heaven, and the apikoros, it says there, right? They don't have a place in the world to come. So out of these three things, the Rambam gets his 13, the same as 13 principles of faith. He develops them from these three who don't have a place. Okay? He says, "Ukeshinikalkel adam sod me'eva yisodot." When one of these foundations of our belief has become ruined in a person's belief system, the person no longer believes one of these 13 things. Hare yatsa min haklal. That person has gone out of the general category. What general category? The Rambam says previously to this that when a person believes in the 13 fundamentals of faith, harehu nichnas leklal Yisrael, then he enters klal, the category of the people of Israel. And he says here, and if he does not believe in one of these 13 principles, then he exits the category of klal Yisrael, which is to say that someone who does not believe in one of these principles, the Rambam says there clearly, is not considered to be, I would say, spiritually speaking, a Jew. Of course he's a Jew. We know a person who's born of a Jewish mother or converts halachically, we know is a Jew. Of course that. He doesn't mean he's not a Jew. Of course he's a Jew. But he means he's not considered, as he says there, a Jew where all the mitzvahs apply. You're supposed to love him and apply all the mitzvahs to him. Why? Because spiritually he is lacking in his categories of Jew. If I may give an example, which is lahavdil, we say, not certainly you'll see not the same example. A Catholic, let's say, a Catholic who says, I go to church every week, and I'm a good person, and I take the sacrament, or whatever I do. But you know, I don't believe Jesus is God. The Son of God, God, that's too far. But I really love going to church, and I love my pastor, and I love so many things that I learn from the New Testament, and I really believe in what it says. But the idea that he's God, that I can't believe. Now, you know that the Pope or someone would say, excuse me, that's heresy. You may think I'm a Catholic, I was born a Catholic, I go to church, I do everything right. No, because you don't believe in Catholicism. That is not Catholicism. You are not a Catholic. That is not what Catholics believe in. You may have been born a Catholic. You may biologically be a Catholic. That's not a proper Catholic belief. The Rambam is saying if you don't believe in these 13 principles, you may have been born a Jew and you are biologically a Jew, of course. But in terms of spirituality, you do not believe in the proper fundamentals of what Jews believe in. The Kafar Bikar, you are in fact denying fundamental principles of the Torah. The Nikra, and you are called as a result, Tzeduki, a Sadducee. The Apikoris, and you are called an Apikoris. The Kotseitz Benitiot, and one who chops off like the branches of the tree. Umitzvah lesano, and there's a mitzvah to hate such a person. Balav ne'amar halom esanecha Hashem esaneh. And upon this it says in Tehillim, that person who hates God because he doesn't believe in these fundamentals, I will hate him. That so happens that the Rambam says in another place in Hilchot Mamrim that anyone who is raised believing in false beliefs, a Jew who wasn't raised with traditional beliefs, his mother and father taught him these beliefs. He was raised in a non-Orthodox setting, so he always believed these things which are not traditional. So the Rambam says that person is what we call a tinok shenishba. He may not be the apikoros we're talking about, supposed to hate him, just the opposite. The Rambam says you're supposed to reach out to him and love him and try to bring him back because he was raised with improper beliefs. It's not his fault. It's not like someone who's raised in yeshiva his whole life and then he says, well, I don't believe in this. That's something else. You then chose not to believe in it. You were raised with those beliefs. Why did you deny them? But this person, the Rambam would say, is not necessarily Apikoros we're talking about. The Chazon Ish, in his Yoredeya commentary, says the same thing. He says that a person who is a Jew in our time, or he says in any time, he has a very big chiddush here, a new idea. A Jew who lives in a time where there are not outward miracles, where a voice does not come out of heaven like it does in the Gemara, a bat kol, and speak to people. Where therefore a person might say, I don't see God, where is he? You say to believe him, I don't see him. So the Chazon Ish says, such a person also is not the apikoros we're talking about, you're supposed to hate, and so on. We're only talking about a person who really knows, like I would say like Datan Vaviram, if you will. The people in Chumash who went out with Jewish people who knew, they saw the sea split, they saw all the plagues, they saw everything. What do you want? And you still don't believe. Okay, you are an apikoros, my friend. Okay, you are a heretic. But here it says, but these people who just don't know, they were raised with improper beliefs, they weren't given the right education from the start. So those people may not be the people who we're talking about who you're supposed to hate. But I'm just pointing out again that the Rambam here says that one who does not believe in the 13 principles is a Sadducee, is an Apikoros. Now for my purposes, does he mean that if you don't believe in any of them? See, I would have said that maybe he just means the prophecy ones that we spoke about in Hilchos Tshuva, where he said that's not Apikoros. You don't believe that God can connect to human beings and have prophecy. So maybe out of those 13 principles, there are three or so that have to do with prophecy. Maybe he means if you don't believe in those, yeah, you're an Apikoros. Or, though, maybe he means if you don't believe in any of them, you are considered to be an Apikoros, which is how we usually use the phrase. Someone who doesn't believe in the major principles of faith, he's an Apikoros. But if he believes that, again, then he's going against, he's inconsistent with what he said in the first source of Hilchos Tshuva, that you're only an Apikoros if you don't believe in the specific idea of God's knowledge reaching the human being, not if you are a denier in some other aspect of the beliefs of the Torah.
What about a person who has the knowledge and doesn't not believe, but just doesn't feel that they can do things, that they can keep it?
Yes, so a person who believes, but he just doesn't keep it, he has difficulties or whatever it is, that person, the Rambam says, is 100% a Jew, a believing Jew. He has a place in the world to come, even if he sins all over the place. Let's just take an example. Let's say a homosexual, okay, who we, according to traditional Judaism, despite the, this being pushed, so to speak, today by people who are from and say, look, I have homosexual tendencies and so on, fine. But let's say a person says, I believe 100% in the Torah, I believe 100% everything in the Torah is true, I believe Moses' prophecy, I believe in the resurrection, I believe in it all. But I have to admit, I'm attracted to the same sex. I'm weak. I'm attracted that the Torah says I shouldn't be, but I am. And I admit furthermore that I'm a sinner and I carry out what it is. So I recognize I am a sinner 100%. but I believe in everything the Torah says and all these principles, then the Rambam says you have a place in the world to come. You are a believing Jew. Okay? You're just a wicked Jew. You're just a sinner. You're a sinner. Okay, like, but I'm also a sinner probably. You're also a sinner probably. We have our sins. It has to be homosexuality seen as not a great sin to engage in. The punishment is karet. It's an abomination, God says. But, okay, there are other people who sin in other ways. You're a sinner, but you're a believer. As opposed to saying, well, because homosexuality, I have these feelings and everything, then the Torah just can't be true, because how could God make me feel this way? Then the Torah, something's wrong. But it must be that, at least in terms of this verse about homosexuals, Moshe just got that one wrong. It just can't be. Can't be. I don't believe every word of the Torah is true. Then already, you're, we would say, kofer b'Torah. Then already, you're in trouble.
All right. And somebody can say, the Torah says this, but I ride to shul because that wasn't there, and it's the rabbis who have decided that it's work to drive in a car. For me, it's more work to walk to shul, the distance I would have to walk, than it is to ride.
Right. That's bordering more on the heretical. Because that's if you're already saying, well, it says in the Torah, you're saying it says not to work. Well, work, what does work mean? Because we said, HaKofer b'Torah, if you don't believe in the oral Torah, right? And Machish Magideh, if you go against those who are the expositors of the Torah, who we believe have the right explanation of the Torah. So if you say, I believe in the Torah, but this thing that the rabbi's saying, Hilchos Shabbos, that you're not allowed to drive, you're not allowed to do this, that's already going too far. I believe in the Torah, but the rabbis, you know, they made up too much stuff there. No. If you don't believe in the oral Torah and the way it's explained, you are a kofer b'Torah as well. The Rambam says. Okay. Source number 6. Hilchos Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos. The Rambam says, V'elu apikorsim, those apikorsim, she'omrim shezeh chilul Shabbat, who say that it's a violation of Shabbos. The Rambam's talking about here the fact that you're allowed to violate Shabbos, as we all know, to save someone's life. But the Rambam's saying here, anyone who's one of these heretics, apikorsim, who says that you're not allowed to violate Shabbos, right? Because Shabbos is more important than saving a human life. So you see, the Rambam calls this person an apikoros. Again, what are we calling him an apikoros for? You said apikoros is someone who denies God's knowledge going to human beings. It sounds like you're saying elu hakofrim, those who are kofer b'Torah, because you said again in source number 4, if you don't believe in the explanation of the rabbis, that we believe the rabbis explained that shining of a life overrules Shabbos. Either it's because, as the Rambam says here, there's a mitzvah in the Torah that says v'chai behem, you shall live by the Torah and not die by it, by which we learn, except for 3 mitzvahs, namely idolatry, murder, and sexual crimes, that you violate other laws of the Torah in order to save a life. So either because of that, or because there's a special limud we have that says v'shamru v'nei Yisrael Shabbat, the Jewish people shall keep the Shabbat, and the Gemara says violate one Shabbos in order that a Jew shall be able to keep many Shabbos. In other words, if I save this guy's life, so I'll violate Shabbos now, but he'll keep many Shabbos in the future.
So you can only do it for a Jew?
That's why some want to say you can only do it for a Jew. If not for the fact, what we call Ava, that we live amongst non-Jews, it would be terrible hatred as a result. So that's why, yes, we do it for a non-Jew as well. But yes, technically it would only be for a Jew, and some might even say only for a Jew who's a Shomer Shabbos. Because what do you mean you're going to violate Shabbos? And we know that guy. He doesn't keep Shabbos. So you're going to violate Shabbos. Next week he's not going to keep Shabbos again. He's not going to suddenly go on transformation.
Well,
we know his whole life he didn't keep Shabbos. I know, but for never knowing doesn't mean you can do it necessarily. Never knowing doesn't mean you can do it. The logic is, I'm breaking Shabbos because he will keep Shabbos in the future. So it's just, so he'll keep another Shabbos. But if you don't know, some say that then it's a question. But again, we're generally lenient because we say, look, you know what hatred will happen? Someone finds out the doctor didn't save this guy and he saved that guy. He'll be his medical life, so he'll be put in jail. And Jews will be hated by non-Jews. And Jews themselves will hate other Jews. So we generally do not act on that. Okay? But again, the main point here I'm making is, from our theme, is that here an apikoros seems to be someone who acts on an improper understanding of the way Chazal explain Shabbos, the fact that saving a life overrules Shabbos. And here this person denies it. Again, I would say that's a kofer b'Torah. That's not an apikoros, and yet the Rambam has used the term apikoros. Turn the page. Source number 7. Source number 7. The Rambam says the laws of forbidden sexual crimes, Isrei Bia. He says in source Ted Vav, he says, this is Yud Aleph Ted Vav. V'chein zeh shetimsa b'mitzat mekamot v'timsa teshuvot b'mitzat ha-gaonim. Sh'yoledet zachar lo tishamesh mitata ad sofar ba'im. V'yoledet nekeva achar shmonim. V'yaf al-pi sh'lo rat ha-dam ela b'toch ha-shiva. Ein zeh minag ela ta'otu. He. Botana chuvot, but derech api korsut botana mekamot minat zdukin lamdu devarzeh. Again, he gives this explanation. He says, here's the case. It says in the Torah itself, in Parshat Tazria, if someone has a child, a woman has a child, it says, if it's a boy, she's impure for 40 days. If it's a girl, she's impure for 80 days. Now, that impurity has to do with her coming back to the temple. Okay, coming into the temple and being involved with things that are pure. All right, anyone, the Rambam says, who learns that this means that you can't have relations with your husband for 40 days if it's a boy, or we can't have relations with your husband if it's a girl for 80 days. He says this is an incorrect explanation. It has nothing to do with relations with your husband. Relations with your husband, once your wife has, in all laws by Hilchos Nida and the Mikvah, once one's wife stops bleeding, so she counts for 7 days, she goes to the Mikvah, and then you can have a relation with your husband. Even if it's 14 days, whatever it is, it has nothing to do with the 40-day and the 80-day number given by the Torah. That has to do with the Beis HaMikdash, with the purity of the temple. So the Rambam says, but there are those who want to explain, no, it means have a relation with your husband. The Rambam says, anyone who says that, Derech Apikorsut. It's the way of the heretic, of the Apikorsim. Again, I would say, why are you saying it's the way of the Apikorsim? You said an Apikoros, Nichos Tshuva, is one who has the problem understanding how God's knowledge can get to man knowledge. This is not the way of Apikorsim. This is the way of Kofrim Batora. Those who don't understand the interpretation properly and give it another interpretation. Like he says, it's like they learned this, he said, from the Sadducees. Oh, they learned this from the Sadducees. You said in source number 4 that one who believes in the Sadducees, a kofir, one who denies the explanation of the Torah, and believes like the Tzedukim or the Baitusim, you said that's called a kofir b'Torah, not an apikoros. So why here? Please, be consistent. Define things correctly, as you did in the earlier source number 1 of what apikoros is. Again, you're being inconsistent. Source number 8. Hilchot Gezeilah Aveda, the laws of stealing. Here the Rambam says that, and this relates to what you asked before, Eleanor. Afidu haya bal ha'aveda rasha. If a person lost an object, and he's a wicked person, okay, he does avers. He says, v'ochal nevela l'te'avon. Like he eats treif. And you know, he does it, not because he says, I don't believe in God or something, but he says, you know, there aren't a lot of kosher restaurants around, and I got to go out a lot for business, and you know, so I go out and I eat treif. I know it's wrong, but I do it. He's a sinner. He's a rasha. He's a sinner. He says, if a person's like that, it's a mitzvah to return his object. So he's still a Jew. You have to return his object. Someone, however, who eats treif and he says, I'm doing this because, you know what, God, I don't care what you say about keeping kosher. I don't care. I'm going to eat what I want to eat because I'm hungry and just forget you. Okay? Someone who does that, not because, God, I know what you said, but I'm weak. What can I do? No. I'm doing this. I'll show you. I'm going to go to McDonald's, get the biggest burger possible. I'm going to show you. Harehu apikoros. That person is an apikoros. Again, I'm going to say to you, but you said in source number 1, that's not an apikoros. You said an apikoros is a problem understanding the nature of God's relationship with man in terms of the knowledge going from God to man. You didn't say this is an apikoros. Okay, you did not say that. In fact,
this is an example of somebody not believing that it's coming from God.
Fine. That the Rambam will call that not an apikoros. That's a kofir b'Torah, as we said before. You're not an apikoros. You know, because Shuba, you said that's a kofir b'Torah. Okay? Or, even differently, this may be a new example. The Rambam, when he discusses in Hilchos Tshuva that I mentioned before, when he mentions those who don't have a place in the world to come, he introduces as well another category aside from the ones we have seen so far. He says as well in Perek Gimel Halacha Vav, he says, you don't have this in front of you, but he says, Ha'osa abeirot biyad rama uparhesia ki yaho yakin. He says, someone who does sins brazenly, outwardly, I don't care what you say, God, I'm going to do it right in front of everyone. That person, like Yehoyakim, who was one of the kings of the Jewish people, who it is said, according to Chazal, wore shotness, linen and wool, and bragged about it, I'm going to show you, God, who had incestuous relationships with his family members, and said to God, I don't care care what you said about sexual crimes, I'm going to do it anyway. Who put an idol's name upon his body, upon himself, so that to show either I'm an idol or people let them bow to me and they'll be bowing to the idol. He had no concern for God whatsoever. In fact, it says in the Gemara that he said, Yoyakim, people think they made God mad with what they did. They don't know how to make God mad. I'll show them how to make God mad. So he believed in God. It says, I'll show God, though. I'll make him, I'll make him pay. I'll show him what mad means. I'll watch what I'm going to do now. So this Yoyakim is this individual who's another example of no place in the world to come. So here the Rambam says, however, again, no, this person's called an Apikoris. I ask you again, why does he call this person Apikoris? He gave a different category for this person in the laws of Tshuva. And then he goes on to say, in number 8, in the second line, he goes on to say, the Apikoris those who are apikorsim and who are worshipping of idols, mechalei Shabbos parhesia, and they violate Shabbos openly, asur lahachzir lahen avedat ka'akum. You cannot return their lost object just like an idolater. By the way, here he's introducing a new concept that maybe you've heard before, that someone who is a mechalel Shabbos parhesia, someone who brazenly violates Shabbos, is considered to have the status of an idolater. Have you ever heard that? The status of an idolater. Like if he touches wine, which is not mevushal, that wine becomes contaminated just like an idolater touches. Because someone who does not keep Shabbos, it's as if he's saying, I don't believe in God. Because we keep Shabbos to testify God created the world as a creator. He created it in 6 days and rested on the seventh. I testify to that by resting on the seventh. Someone who does not rest on the seventh, so I don't know if he believes in God, because he's not showing he believes in the Creator. So Judaism has a notion that such a person is an idolater, but we generally say it's only person, again, who brazenly does it. It's brought down that Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in the town of Brisk, that there was a certain individual who every Shabbos would go right in front of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's home, and he'd light up a cigarette right in front of Chaim Soloveitchik. That very person, there's a famous story told, it's told by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in one of the Beit Yitzchak volumes. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, it's also brought down in another book called Read and Remember on the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Daf Kavav Amud Bet, Aleph and Bet. It says there, quote, well, he doesn't quote Rav Aaron, but he should have, it says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that this very individual who lit a cigarette in front of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was once shooting
at a picture of the Tsar.
So the Russian soldiers captured him and they said they were going to kill him. And this took place like during the Aseret Shmei Tshuva. And Rav Chaim Soloveitchik announced, we have to raise money in order to save this person. And everyone said to him, we're not raising money to save him. Said, let him be killed. He doesn't believe in anything. He doesn't believe in anything. So they said, in fact, there's a pasuk in the Torah, Biyarta ra mikirbecha. You should wipe out the evil from your midst. And he's evil. So they said, we're not going to raise money for him. Rav Chaim told the board of the city, like about a year, he told the board, if you do not raise the money, I will not allow you in to daven on Yom Kippur. I will lock the door to the synagogue and you will daven at home. Now, he said this to them on after Mincha, when they still raised the money, after Mincha on Erev Yom Kippur, when everyone was going to then go home to eat their Suda, their Suda Mafseket, their meal, before they were going to fast. He said, don't even go home, because if you don't raise the money, you're not even going to have a Yom Kippur here in Shul. So they all went to raise the money, and they all came to Shul at Kol Nidre, and they all raised the money, but they did not have time to eat that year. They went into Yom Kippur without eating any meal before Yom Kippur. They did not have time to eat. Because Rav Chaim said, and then they came, and then he said, okay, now we'll start Kol Nidre. So Rav Chaim did this for a person who lit up a cigarette in his face, who totally, what was his proof that this was okay, by the way? He said, it's okay because the Rambam says in another place that in order for such a person to have this status, like wiping him out and hating him, it has to be that a Beit Din, like a real court, has to analyze this and look into the person's deeds and see what his background was and see how he was raised and see if it was a real Russia or not. Only then can you really take that out of such a person. Otherwise, you can't. So that's how simple you just define a person as a Rasha. In fact, for Parnas, my Rebbe once pointed out to me in what I quoted you to before about people don't have a place in the world to come. And for those who are listening online, this goes against maybe the Brisker Rav in answering a famous Ravid that he deals with. But here, when it talked about a person doesn't have a place in the world to come, the Rambam said, these don't have a place in the world to come. He says, rather they are wiped out and they're judged al godel risham. They are judged for the greatness of their evil forever and ever. So if Parnas wanted to say to me, when I read him this, he said, wow, it sounds like the Rambam saying that it's only if you're evil that you have this status, you don't have a place in the world to come, you're this terrible person, you should hate him. But if you're not evil, you were raised that way. And this confirms what the Rambam said, he said in Hilchot Mamim about a Tinok Shenishba, someone who didn't know. So then, this halacha doesn't apply. So a person who never knew, let's say a Russian who came here from Russia, he doesn't know, he wasn't raised, he doesn't know anything. That person comes to shul every week, he could be a good guy, but he doesn't believe in some of these things. He never taught them. He doesn't believe them. So could be that's not what the Rambam's talking about. We've seen again in source number 8 the confusion I believe the Rambam brings to the notion of the apikoros. Source number 9, the laws of murder and saving lives. Here the Rambam says, "Apikorsim, those who are heretics, apikorsim, v'heim obdei avodah zarah." What's the definition of an apikoros? And again, I'm sorry to repeat it. One who does not believe that God's knowledge can come from God to man. No, he says the apikorsim, and who are they? He says, Obdei avodah zarah, the idolaters, oh, those are apikorsim. I thought idolaters are something else. What do you mean? Not some, these are idolaters? Or he says, ha'osav erot lahachis, or people who do sins brazenly and to get God mad. And we said before, that's a separate category you bring down. Okay? He says again, defining apikors improperly, he does this again here. Let's attend. The laws of idolatry. He says, ha'apikorsim, the heretics, Haim, they are those who blank, and now you could fill in source number 1, right? Don't believe the knowledge of God can get to a human being. But instead he says, Haim aturi machar machshavot libam, those who go after their own beliefs, like Eleanor maybe you wanted to mention before, ubesichlut devarim shamarnu achinim suovrim al gufei Torah, lahachich v'sei benefesh biyad ramah, v'yomrim shein bazavon, these people who go after their own thoughts and beliefs, he doesn't say what they are, until they eventually reach a point where they're going against fundamental principles, and therefore they do things that are against the Torah. So first they believe improperly, then they do things improperly as a result of their improper beliefs. So the Rambam describes these people again as api coursing. But we said, what do you mean? That's not how you define apikoros in source number 1. Let's go on to source number 11. Ha'ose aveirot biyad ramah k'yehoyakim. Like I said before, someone who does mitzvahs, who does sins, excuse me, with the strong arm, like Yehoyakim. Rather, he did it, he says, this is in Hilchos Teshuvah, by the way, Gimel Yud Aleph. Be it a person did it with minor mitzvahs, be it he did it with major mitzvahs, ein lo chelk lamaba, he has no place in the world to come. V'zehu anikra, and a person who did this, who brazenly and openly went against God, is called a, he says, migale panim batorah, someone who reveals the faces of the Torah improperly, who explains the Torah improperly, who's brazenly against the Torah. But he does not say, as he said in source 10, in source 9, in source 8, that an apikoros is also someone who brazenly goes against the mitzvahs of God. He does not say that. Here he says that's called a megale panim b'torah. That is not called an apikoros. Again, my problem. Source number 12. Now look at source number 12. Here, in a sense, the Rambam answers up, maybe you'll say, what we're having a difficulty with, but not really. In source number 12, this is brought down in the Lechem Mishnah's commentary to Hilchos Teshuvah Gimel Zayin. It's from the Perush HaMishnayot of the Rambam to Chulin Daf Yud Chet Amud Bet. He says, Lo yehi tzeduke o baitusi, a person should not be like the Sadducees or the baitusim, v'hein shnei akitot chichilu lahachish v'dibra kabbalah. They were the two groups that began to question our tradition of the oral Torah. Kamo shebi arnu ba'avot, like we explained in the laws of Pirkei Avos in the Mishnahs there. Ad sheshava emet etzlam sheker v'nitivei ha'or choshech v'yafeila ba'aretz. Nochachot Yipulu. He says, until eventually, because they spread improperly what the oral Torah said, so darkness descended upon the lot of the land, and light was covered up as a result of what they did. Those who call these people heretics, the Sadducees and the Baitusim and others, he said, Vashum Muchlat. They're not really what we call apikorsim. They're not really apikorsim. Aval dinam liyot kedin apikorsim. But their status is like the status of apikorsim. Lefi sheheim mavo laapikorsut amiti. Because what they're saying, what they're doing is like an entryway to the true apikoros. Now maybe this is almost what Eleanor was saying before. That there are things that people do, they don't fit the exact definition of apikoros, the Rambam saying here, but what they're doing is eventually going to lead them to this notion, we might say, that it really God doesn't connect and there's no knowledge going forth, and that's why I'm doing these aveiras, and it's all a kind of one general category. That's what Eleanor tried to say. Again, he has a notion of a pre-apikoros status. Like, you know, when I get to get my blood tested, my blood pressure tested at Kroger, you put this machine on you. So it says, you know, hypertension, pre-hypertension. You know, if you have this so this is pre-apikorsis. Are you not apikorsis? People call them an apikorsis. You're a pre-apikorsis. You're a pre-high blood pressure problem. So that's what the Rambam says it is. All right. Still, I think the Rambam could have been clearer, even though I'm trying to defend him here. Source number 10, finally, and then we'll close. In this commentary on the Mishnah, in the Mishnah on Sanhedrin, where the Rambam comments, he says, Umilat apikoros. Finally, we have maybe something you've wondered about. The word apikoros. Mm-hmm. Now, if I asked you, what does the word apikoros come from? Listen, does it sound like Hebrew? Apikoros. What would you think? Greek. Have you ever heard any word that sounds like the word apikoros? What? Epicurus. There was a Greek philosopher, Epicurus, and indeed the Aruch, one of the Rishonim, and the Sefer HaYikarim by Rav Alba, one of the Rishonim, they both say that the word Apikoros comes from the word Epicurus, the Epicurean philosopher who believed, among other things, that you should just enjoy yourself in this world, get all the pleasure that you want. Why? Because there really is no God running the world. If there is, He doesn't care about the world. Everything's done by chance. There is no justice. So just eat, drink, and be merry. So that's the Epicurus. So some say that's what it means, the Apikoros. One who believes God really isn't here, doesn't run the world, doesn't care, just go out and enjoy yourself. The Rambam, though, interestingly, does not say that. The Rambam says, Milat Apikoros, hi arami. The word Apikoros is Aramaic. It's not Greek. Now, it's interesting. At first, I thought when I read this, I thought, why would the Rambam, who studied Greek philosophy, of all things, you would think he would know that the word apikoros is from the Greek? And then I thought, no, just the opposite. The Rambam, who believes you can study Greek philosophy against others who disagreed, who said you shouldn't study that stuff, so in order to draw attention away from it, he says the word apikoros comes from what? No, not Epicurus. No. Otherwise, you'll say those philosophers are dangerous. It doesn't come from that. It comes from an Aramaic word. It comes from the word Hefker, he says, from the word to be mafkir. He says, Misha mafkir umivaze et ha Torah. The word hefker means either it's ownerless, like we say when we take our chametz, we make it hefker, ka'ara, da'alma, like dirt. It's like it belongs to anyone. It's ownerless. It's worthless. It belongs to no one. It's a worthless thing now. Alright? So he says, anyone who is mivaze et ha Torah, who says the Torah is worthless, it's nothing. Olom deha, or someone who says that it's expositors, chazal, the ones who explain the Torah. They didn't know what they're talking about. They're nothing. They're worthless. They don't know what they're talking about. Those people, he says, are apikorsim. Lefichach korim bazeh Hashem. Therefore, that's why, now we're really understanding it, therefore we call anyone generally by that name, he says. She'eino ma'amin b'yisodi ha-Torah, who doesn't believe in any of the principles of the Torah. Umi, as he says in Masechet Sanhedrin, and someone she'mevazeh ha-chachamim, who disgraces the rabbis. No, she'mevazeh talmid chacham. Even someone in our day, who he says disgraces the Torah, Torah scholar. Doesn't have to be Rabbi Akiva, doesn't have to be Hillel. Any Torah scholar today, O HaMivaze Rabbo, or someone who disgraces his own rabbi, even if it's not Rav Moshe Feinstein, you're not some Rav Soloveitchik or the Lubavitcher Rebbe. No, it's his own rabbi, someone who disgraces his own rabbi. Why would the Rambam say this? I can understand Chazal. That person's an apikoros, it's a heretic. You disgrace your own rabbi, you could believe in all the Torah, I believe in everything, Moshe, this and the resurrection. You disgrace your rabbi, you're a heretic. I understand the Rambam saying that just like Chazal are the connection to the proper understanding of the Torah, so too one's Rebbe, one's rabbi, one's mentor, one's teacher is that connection to be able to understand Torah properly. Without a connection to the Torah, you cannot understand it properly, and therefore you are, in a sense, going against the oral Torah and the proper understanding. You're a kofer and apikoros. Rambam says in the laws of repentance that you have to ask for big forgiveness for someone, right, when you've sinned, and the person has to forgive you. You have to forgive him. And if you didn't forgive him, he has to go to you three more times. But if it's your rabbi, it says even 1,000 times you have to go to him and apologize. He's the right side, I'll forgive you. The Chafetz Chaim says in his laws of Lashon Hara, he says you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara about, you know, many different people. Of course, if you would speak about your parents, I violate also the law of honoring my parents. If you speak Lashon Hara, let's say, about your rabbi, he says you also violate the law of honoring your elders. You have to respect your elders. And also within that law, we learn the zakein, the elder, means zeh shekana chochma, someone who acquired wisdom. So that person also refers, you say, to your rabbi or to a Torah scholar. So the Chafetz Chaim says, when it says here that anyone who disgraces a Torah scholar or his rabbi, that person is an apikoros, like we just read, the Rambam says, is a heretic. So the Chafetz Chaim says, don't think it means, well, they're just exaggerating. They're just trying to show how terrible it is. The Chafetz Chaim says, no, it's a din. He says, it is actually the halacha that a person who disgraces his rabbi or a Torah scholar, another Torah scholar, is really an apikoros. Not just, well, Chazal say that, try to emphasize how terrible it was that he did that to the Torah scholar. He says, no, you really are an apikoros. You have the status of an apikoros, says the Chafetz Chaim. So let me just close. What I'm trying to emphasize is, if we only had this last Rambam, I would say, oh, beautiful, now I understand everything. The Rambam's basically saying that an apikoros is anyone who does any of these things that we have seen throughout. Be it that he disgraces the Torah, doesn't believe in one of the fundamentals, disgraces the Torah scholar, one of the expositors of the Torah, even his own Rebbe. And we use that term to apply to anyone who, like the word apikoros, he says, means hefker. Anyone who says, it's nothing, it's worthless about the Torah, about a Torah scholar. If he would just say this, I would say, beautiful, I understand, I have no problem. My problem in solving this again, as I said, the mystery to me is, why in Hilchos Tshuva, the first source we saw, does he say three are called an apikoros, these three? Why didn't he say, these are called apikorsim, and I'll look at the different categories, I'm going to give you an apikoros. If he would have said that, I would have been fine. But because he did it in this way, and he delineated very clearly, in Hilchos Tshuva, what an apikoros was, it bothers me that throughout his other writings, he is not consistent to that definition. And therefore, I call upon anyone, if they can, to explain this in such a way that we can understand it, that I would appreciate it. Because, of course, I believe in answering up difficulties in the Rambam, but in this particular case, the mystery still is with me.